Me being in an airplane and not being able to see 6,000 feet in the air, hello. Anytime Ed and I have ever flown, we've been able to see for miles. We'll get up there and just look around and see for miles. That's why I kept saying, are you sure, honey? Are you sure? Because we wouldn't have flown in a situation like that. But Ed's working on his instrument rating, and it was a perfect instrument condition. He had to totally depend on those instruments. That's what the Holy Ghost does. You can totally depend on the Holy Ghost to lead you through anything. And you know what? About 15 minutes later, we came out of those clouds into clear sky. It was this beautiful, the sun was setting. It was absolutely gorgeous and beautiful, like a red orange off in the sunset on the other side. Because God will get you there. And when your relationship with Him is tight, you have no fear. You have no fear at all. Are y'all in Hebrews chapter 10? Verse 38 through 39 says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, in other words, become complacent. See, when a person becomes complacent, they're idle, but what's happening is you're not going any further. And as time goes by, they're drawing back. Instead of drawing near to God, you're drawing back. But God has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who what? Draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Complacency will cause you to lose your motivation in your word time, your prayer time, and attending church. Nah, yeah, whatever. You know, the hunger, the draw. It's just complacent. It's dangerous. I like what Paul said. I don't claim to have attained everything. This is after the man had done miracles, signs, and wonders. Hello? He wasn't new in the Lord. He had done great and mighty things for God. He goes, but I haven't attained. But this one thing I do, what? Press. His determined purpose was to know God. And he said, you know what? I forget the past. Today's a new day. This is the day. Today's the day. Today's a new day. And he was determined to forget the past and keep reaching forth and pressing toward the mark of the prize of the goal. Because see, God has people he wants you to touch, just like the woman at the well. That supernatural encounter went far beyond just her and her personal life with Jesus. He has cities, towns, nations that he wants to touch through us. We're the salt of the earth. We can make people thirsty for God and hunger for God to ask you for the hope that is within you. When you get complacent, you start taking faith for granted. Sometimes you become so interested in enjoying the benefits of faith that you lose sight of God's purpose for your life, which is what I was talking about earlier. Cosmetology school, this is awesome. As I was pressing in and learning, God, all of a sudden this desire, and realized I was working at a major grocery store, had been there 20 years when I left. But all of a sudden I have this desire out of my relationship with God. I'm like, God, is that you? Are you leading? Are you directing me? Right. See, when I got on fire for God, I was on the road of acceleration, merging into destiny, full force. And I went after it with everything. And so I found a school that I could go to at night, and I worked during the day, and the company I worked for, they were okay. I went in at 4 o'clock in the morning to 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and 1 to 9, I went to class. I realize I was up here on Tuesday nights and Friday nights. I was at my church on Wednesday nights and at my church on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. So my whole world rocked. Because I was all caught up in God for about 4 or 5 years, right? And then all of a sudden, I don't have that night going to church, hearing about God, learning about God, learning about faith, learning about righteousness, right? And so I talked to the school, or my job, and they were okay with me coming in at 4. So I started school, and after about a few months into it, I was like, oh, my God, I started missing God. You know, I'm like, but I knew that God told me to do that, right? And so I talked to my pastor, and I was like, oh, I don't know about this. He said, you know what, Debbie, you go on and you do it. A lot of people have wanted to go and do what you're doing right now, but they never did it. He said, but you take quality time with God. Not necessarily quantity that I was having, right? But you get quality time. And that's when I learned. God's not asking you for 48 hours a day. You can recognize His presence, but He wants you to give Him quality time first. First. And I started doing that. And my teacher, I really enjoyed her. Sometimes she would let us get out early. And on Wednesday nights, she would let us out early, and I'd be like, okay, what time is it? Oh, it's about 7:30. Okay, I could go by church, and I could get the word. So I went one night, man, I was in there. I was like, okay, praise and worship is getting ready to get over. I'm going to go in there and get my seat. And I walked in the back of the church, and I looked up there, and I thought, who is that in my seat? It's like some tall dude. I'm like, what are they doing in my seat? It was Ed. God has a way of putting your husband in your seat. Hello? I was like, who is that? So I sat in the back. I didn't go up there and be like, hey, who are you? I didn't do that. But see, I was seeking God. And I had no idea that that man would later, 2 years later, be my husband. But God has a way. When your heart is after Him and when you want to seek Him, God has a way of putting your husband in your seat. Hallelujah. And I didn't ask who he was because I didn't care. I didn't know nothing about him or where he went to church. I didn't know nothing about it. I'm on destiny. I'm fulfilling the plan of God. I'm going to work and I'm going to school. And then 9 months later, I didn't miss a day or 1 hour. We had to get 1,800 hours. 9 months later, I graduated. And when I graduated, they started closing every one of those grocery stores. God knew it. God knew that. Because in the natural realm, I'm working at a brand new Winn-Dixie. Brand new. On Virginia Avenue in Lexington. Brand new store. Tate's Creek, Palomar, all of them. Brand new stores. Georgetown, all of them. But when I graduated, they closed them all down. So God knew. But where did that come from? Spending time with Him. Hearing His voice. Because when you do that, when you draw near to Him, that's the lines of communication are open to where you could hear direction, correction, and instruction for your life personally. But complacency. Just get satisfied where you are. When God has so much more. There's so much that He has for us. We haven't even tapped into the fullness of it. Our input will determine our output. Our input will determine our output, what we put into it. See, look, I'm not teaching condemnation, please. But the main thing is having no substitutes for God. God knows each and every one of you. He knows your schedule. He knows what's going on in your life. And God knows how to get you in a position to where you have that quality time with Him. He would rather you have 15 minutes of quality time than 5 hours where nothing changed. You understand what I'm saying? Where you're just going through the motions. God wants that quality time with you. He made you to fellowship with Him, to have a relationship with Him. In John 15, Amplified, it says, live in me and I will live in you, just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in and being vitally united to the vine. Mama has taught this very, very many times over and over again. how important it is to stay vitally connected. Because we are an extension of Jesus. We're producing fruits. But without that, we can't. And it says, me and my words remain in you and continue. So in other words, God is a rewarder of those that diligently. That means it's something that's ongoing. It just doesn't come today, stop tomorrow. It's an ongoing fellowship, relationship with God. So number one, complacency. I got a CD for you tonight. Number one, complacency. We have to be aware of that. See, the enemy doesn't care. The enemy doesn't go on vacation. He doesn't take a spring break or a fall break, right? But when you're so caught up with the Lord, all that stuff just rolls off your back. You're with God. He sees everything. You might be in the middle of the clouds, but He's with you. It's covenant. Number two, hallelujah, is distractions. Let's define a distraction. It's a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something. A thing that directs one's attention away from something. Extreme agitation of the mind or emotions. A distraction. Have you ever been with the Lord reading the word, but your mind was somewhere else? Has something ever happened, maybe a situation or what, where your emotions are trying to stir up? All that hinders that connection, but it's called a distraction. It could get to the place where you're distracted, where you actually don't get time with the Lord. Or you are with the Lord, but your attention is not on the Lord. The Bible says, give attention to His word. Your attention, full attention, is not on being with Him. Your mind is elsewhere. You're being pulled away. Mark chapter 4, and this is in the Amplified, and it says, and the cares or distractions of this world, and the deceitfulness, riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. So distractions, what are they designed to do? To choke the word. I've decided to take the path of faith. And faith is based on the word of God, is it not? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The more word we get in us, the stronger our faith is going to be. And not just a word that's on a page, but word that is inside of your heart, your spirit. And if the enemy, we spend a lot of time in church. You spend a lot of time listening to messages. Do I want the devil to come in and choke all that time, that investment that I've made? If you've made an investment, you want a return on that investment. You've put a lot of word into your heart and to your spirit. Who wants that to be choked? None of us. But distractions will choke the word. And this is the thing, it's subtle. Just like complacency, it's subtle. It's the little things. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that come to try to pull you away and distract you. If you will, go with me to Luke chapter 10. God has a great life for us. Amen. I want to stir you up. I want to stir up that thirst and hunger for God. I want you to go deeper. I want you to be confident in your relationship with God. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. Step into your righteousness. Hallelujah. Go boldly before the throne. Get your worship music out and you just lay at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 10. Let's put our eyes on let's see here. Y'all know the story. It came to pass, verse 38, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her home. Imagine this. Jesus is coming to your house. Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, he's in you. Hello. But Jesus is actually coming to their house. And she had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So you got Mary and Martha. Jesus is actually in their house. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. What a beautiful picture. And Mary also, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She chose that. She made that choice, right? And she had a sister, verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Verse 40 in the Amplified said, but Martha, overly occupied and too busy. So we're going to take care of busyness. Taking care of busyness. Amen. Taking care of busyness every day. Is that a song? It is now. We got to take care of busyness. She was distracted with much serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me, to lend a hand and do her part along with me. But the Lord replied to her by saying, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about with many things. There is need of only one or but a few things. And Mary has chosen the good portion, that which is to her advantage, which shall not be taken from her. I want to look at this in other translations, okay? The TPT says this. Mary has discovered the one thing most important by choosing to sit at my feet. She is undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her. Is that on the screen? She is undistracted. So Mary chose the one thing, the first thing, the CJB. But there is only one thing that is essential. Remember COVID? They shut down all the businesses like mine that wasn't essential. I think it's essential to get your hair done. Hello. And get ministered to. Because it's more than the hair. Hello. It's laying these hands on people's heads. And they did not feel like that was essential. But you know what? In Jesus' eyes, sitting at his feet is essential. It's necessary. And they really thought it was going to make me go out of business. When you're about the Father's business, he'll take care of your business. Amen. The easy translation. But only one thing is really important. That is what Mary has chosen to do. Nobody will take it away from her. The Phillips translation. Only a few things are really needed, and perhaps only one. Mary has chosen the best part, and you must not tear it away from her. Because see, that's what the enemy wants to do with distractions. Tear you away from your time with the Lord. Tear you away. Why? Because of what's going to happen in those moments with Jesus. Spending time with him, it's worth it. The power is worth the investment. Do you remember when they were saying to Jesus, hey, we cast out devils and we raised the dead and we healed the sick and we opened the blinded eyes? Jesus said, depart from me, I don't know you. He doesn't just want our service that we do for Him. He wants you. Can I say it that way? He wants you. He wants all of you. Not a part of you, but all of you. Because what He has for you demands that. And I want all of Him. I haven't stopped seeking God. No, I'm just getting started. It's just been 30 years. I'm just getting started in this thing. Hello? There's so much to Him and so much to know. And we can know God through other people, and we should. Do you realize I've been face to face with Nancy Dufresne like this? Well, no, let me put it up here. No, she was looking down on me like this. I admire her and her relationship with God, and I've learned a lot. Keith Moore, eye to eye. My man of God, every Tuesday night, Friday night, and Sunday. Pastor Liz, every time she's behind the pulpit, I am learning God through them. But it doesn't take place of the relationship God wants with you one-on-one. I am so grateful. I'm telling you, I am so grateful that God just thrust me in because I decided to take the path of faith. I just decided to take the path of faith. I'm not getting off that path. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I decided 30 years ago to take the path of faith. Wherever it led, wherever God wants me to go, whatever He tells me to do, whatever He wants, I decided to take that path. I made that decision 30 years ago, and I haven't regretted it. Does the devil leave you alone because you see God? No. But greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. He can't stop you. Just because you're in the middle of the clouds doesn't mean nothing. It's covenant. You just think of, I wish I had that picture because I said, God, if you do that again, I'll get a picture because I didn't have my camera ready. Are you kidding? I'm praying in tongues. Bless God. When I see Lexington, I'm going to be happy. When I see that runway, when I see those lines down through there. I said, God, I trust my husband, but I trust you more. He did amazing. He did awesome. But God knows. Hallelujah. You just picture that rainbow. You're in it. The reflection of you. It's covenant. It's covenant. Glory be to God. I want to go to one last verse and I want to play a song for you, okay? Is any of this making sense? Because I wasn't on my notes at all. So I hope you are getting it because I don't know. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Jesus came, or God came down in the garden and walked with Adam and Eve. He walked with Enoch. See, when you spend time, your time, whatever your time, your whatever it is God's allotted to you, whatever you have on your heart, He will walk. That's walking with Him throughout the day. One thing is important, and Mary chose it. David said, the one thing I want from God, the thing I seek most of all, is the privilege of meditating in His temple, living in His presence every day of my life, and delighting in His incomparable perfections and glory. The one thing He desired more than anything else was to be in His presence every day. Remember Pastor talking about practicing the presence of God? God, it's been an hour and I've not heard Your voice. What was He doing? He was practicing the presence of God because we have access to that. You don't have to go to the throne and leave. He's with you all the day, all the time. He's with you. Remember the rainbow, the reflection in it? He's with you all the time. Kyra, put Psalms 25:14 up on the screen. Psalms 25:14. I've got it in a different translation, but that's okay. I'll just read it to you. There's a private place that says secret in the King James, but there's a private place reserved for the devoted lovers of Yahweh where they will sit near to Him and receive the revelation secrets of His promises. There's a private place. Have you ever talked to anybody in private? What is it? That's between you and them. I want to talk to you in private. That's what God wants for you. For every one of us is that private place where He will reveal the secrets of His word. Revelation comes, a sweetness of His presence. Amen. I want to end it with this verse right here. Kyra, if you will put up Psalm 16:10-11 in the voice. There we go. If you don't mind, get the song ready. This is a good life. My heart is glad. My soul is full of joy. And my body is at rest. Who could want for more? You direct me on the path that leads to a beautiful life. Does anybody want a good life and a beautiful life? Your God, oh my, a good life and a beautiful life? Look at those beautiful kids back there. That's how God sees us. He's got that beautiful life designed for us. As I walk with you, the pleasures are never ending, and I know true joy and contentment. Amen. Amen. Would y'all get anything out of that? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll have Kyra just to listen to this song. It's just praise the Lord. You can turn it up too, Kyra. Well, not blaring, but. She's getting it. Can you put it on the screen, Kyra? If you can.
Tasted the world, see more than
you can turn it up a little bit if you don't mind.
Its promises fleeting, of water and wine I emptied the cup and found myself wanting. But there is a well that never runs dry. All I know is every
Thank you all.
Hallelujah. We all needed that.
Yes.
Even with your relationship, really awesome. There's, you know, you don't ever just arrive. Amen.
Thank you.
Especially in these days that we're living in and where the world's just trying to claim as many souls as it can, but you got to give it up because those souls belong to us. Amen. Those people belong to us. And Debbie, you're going to start seeing, you're having utterance more and more with the people, and just start confessing that. You know, really get on your confession about their hearts are open and they want to know God, and because God's giving you, he's giving you utterance, okay? And so you believe God for favor. You do, I know you do those things already, but really press in your confession, because people come to your shop because they love the atmosphere. Not that they don't enjoy the way you fix their hair, okay? But God's just in there, see, touching lives. And you know there's times when you don't even have to say anything, but you know that people that come in there are being touched by the presence and power of God. And so if God has opportunity, and see, wherever we go, people, that's, you spend that time with God, you are shining, whether you realize it or not. Your lives are bright to other people that do not know God. I mean, you just, your eyes. You can't hide your eyes. They are so bright. And people just are drawn to that. And they don't know why. And they don't know. But they're going to start coming up and asking you more. More and more. And that goes for everyone in here. To get your confession strong. That people are drawn to the light. Because they really need God. A lot of times they're just intimidated by that light. What we believe God, they're drawn to the light. Amen? Amen, amen. Thank you, Debbie. That was awesome. We love it. And it's World Outreach Night. Amen? So if, I'm telling you, we got calls from all over the place. I guess you may be watching tonight. I hope you are. But we get calls from California, from Texas, from we've got a girl in Maryland, hi, I know they're watching, that hands out prayer line calls all over where she is. She said, you know, I've got to have a partner. I said, okay, we prayed for her to have a partner to get this harvest in. Amen. And then this last week or so, I got a call from Alaska. So, and she said, I want you all to come to Alaska. I said, we are, through the videos. Let me give you our YouTube account and all this. So people are, this is a powerful, powerful outreach ministry. Amen. So as you sow your seed into this world outreach ministry, believe God for utterance here and in your neighborhood and with people that you're associated with, okay? Because this enables us to get the word from Alaska to Maryland to Florida, Texas, California, all over the place. But your seed will give you utterance with your next-door neighbor. See what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You ready to give? Father, in the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you. Father, I thank you for the kingdom of God advancing. And yes, Lord, we hear you, and we are pressing in our relationship with you, because that is the most precious thing. That's why we're here, to walk with you, walk in the light as you are in the light, and have fellowship with you and each other. We thank you for this opportunity to sow into the world outreach ministry. We believe we receive utterance all over this town, everywhere we go, that the light is shining brightly because we're spending more time with you. And just as the Sanhedrin looked at Peter and John and noted they have been with Jesus, they will look at this church and the people that are in this church, and they will say, and they know that we have been with you, Lord. And we thank you for it. And we believe we receive that hundredfold return. Seed to the sower, bread to the eater. You are multiplying this seed sown in an accelerated fashion. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone agreed, said? Amen. Come rejoicing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Multiplied. Receiving, receiving, hundredfold. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Good to see Shelly back with us. Amen. And Martha. Martha. Hey, Martha. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You look new. It says, what, I can't read it from here, Martha. What does it say? Huh? 95. Amen. Amen. That's another story. We'll talk about that later. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, lift your hands. Let me release this blessing from this apostolic office. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for the apostolic blessing that is on every person in this ministry, that they are blessed spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, and in the connections, in their, Lord, blessed in their seeking you in their lives. From this moment on, we are changed, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Go in the joy of the Lord. Amen. We will see you Sunday, 10:30.